Blog Talk Radio.
Joy Brown with the Pastors for Punch TV Studio. We're so happy that you tune in today to be with us, and we do have our special guest also, which we will be bringing on pretty soon. But let me tell you how good God is. Oh, the Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We're so happy that you joined in with us today. We're going to be talking about some interesting things, especially for those that are single. How many of you in the house are single and happy? Well, I am happy. When it says single falls in a different kind, in a multiple categories, whether you're single because you got divorced, or where maybe you're single and you're dating, or whether you're single and a single parent, or maybe just single with no attachment in relationships, still you fall under the heading of single. We know what marriage is, and there's a lot of topics about marriage, and of course there's maybe a lot of people that's married trying to get single, you know, trying to get back on the other side. But we have a phenomenal guest that's with us today on the Pastors for Punch TV studio. And this woman of God has such an awesome, awesome walk with the Lord. But I'm just going to go over a few things with you so you can kind of get familiar with who she is and what she does. And, of course, she is a most high princess that walks in the kingdom of God. But today, we're going to take a hat off. I know she's a prophetess and she's pastor, apostle. But, again, she owns her own business and she is a CEO, Angela Robinson. So before I bring her on the line, just let me just go over a little bit. And as you all know, I always post the bios on there. So I'm just reading. I'm not memorizing anything. So Ms. Robinson, a founder and the chairman of the board, provides a vision for the True Kingdom Records future. Beyond the creative side of the business, Ms. Robinson has developed the business and interpersonal skills necessary to lead True Kingdom Records. She maintained close personal relationships with many executives and personnel within the music industry. These affiliations and contacts will provide the True Kingdom Records with the proper positioning to navigate within the industry. From a professional as well as a ministerial standpoint, Ms. Robinson's experience runs the full government. Licensed as an evangelist since August of 2013, she has worked as an intercessory prayer leader for Joshua Media Ministries, Detroit, Michigan, and ministry leader of Citywide Revivals. And of course, you know she's on the Minister of Alliance with City of Refuge, where our pastor is Bishop Noel Jones. MLK Monument, Compton, California, a program director of the Withered Hands Ministry Incorporated, and with Bishop Smith, New York City, New York, and a Christian Learning Center developer of Jamaica, 2013 to 14, and on and on and on. But we have her here on today because I wanted her to talk about the singles, how to live single and holy, and also she's promoting one of our ministers that will be coming into the city, but we're going to get to that also, and that's of Damon Tolliver, which I do have one of his books right in front of me, but I'm going to let her talk about that. But once and all, and those of you know her, those that want to know her, because she is someone that you really want to get to know in the business, introduce to you today our guest for the hour, CEO Angela Rosen. How are you? Okay, let's see, what did I do? I have her live now. Hold on 1 second. Okay, how are you, woman of God?
I am doing well by the grace of God, all by the grace of God. Believe me, without him, I would not be anything. And so I truly understand that everything that is done and given is through him, all by his grace. Yes, yes, yes. And how are you?
I am so blessed. I really feel like I'm on a different plateau today. God is really elevating me in my purpose, in my destiny, and I'm so thankful that I recognize it and I know it says promotion comes from the Lord, and this is promoting time. He's promoting. So I'm very happy about that.
Amen, amen. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome.
It's definitely a path. Now, I want to make sure, give us the correct pronunciation of your name.
My name is Angela Roberson. A lot of people always say Roberson. I guess it's just an easy roll up. I'll just say that. So, yeah, but it's Angela Roberson.
Okay.
And I've heard Roberson throughout the years, or even since elementary school. So,
is that right?
It's okay. Yeah.
Oh, they want to put that T in there, right?
Yes, I-N, exactly.
Wow. Well, listen, for those of you that are listening and you want to invite people to hear and to participate on our talk show, all you need to do is give them the number, which is 657-383-1974. And we are on the air live right now, so I want you to take part. Call your girlfriends or your guy friend, because we're going to be talking about being single and some of the awkwardness and the wonderful things about single and being single and holy. So, and some of the things that you might be experiencing that we could talk about today with this woman of God, because we're going to have her to share some of her testimony, because we know that you haven't always been single. Is that right?
No, I have not. Absolutely right. I have not always been single, and actually I was married to a bishop. So we always wanted, you know, we wanted kin to that too, because, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, not being unequally yoked. And sometimes we think because a person is in ministry or they're, you know, a pastor or a bishop, apostle, or so on and so forth, but that doesn't mean that they're your soulmate. That doesn't mean, because if you're not in the same, should I say, likeness or like-mindedness, then it's already a disaster waiting to happen, because you're going two different ways. And you should always, I would say, that you are able to work together well, let me put it that way, in ministry, that you're able to do things together. Your ministry should help mine should help yours, but not that you're not completing your ministry, or not that the other person is not completing their ministry, but when we come together, fire is just that much more ministry. So you compromise each other. So that's the word I'm looking for. Stand together in ministry, because it's about kingdom building. And when God puts two people together, he says no man can put them under. And so that means what the assignment is that you both have to be like-minded of each other, of what each other is doing. So, like, if I'm into just outreach ministry, there should be some desires of your own, too, because that's kingdom building. You know, there could be some things that I like to do that you haven't tapped into, but, you know, you will be interested in helping and working in that area. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. It can't be something because, no, I would never do that. Because then it becomes an issue, because the support that I need for you to support me in that area, you will lack in it. Because it's really not an interest of yours, or you're not even interested in it. So those are some, I think it's very important when you even start dating as a woman, man of God, you know. A lot of people just right off the bat, they start thinking, okay, romance. Romance.
Yes.
You start seeing marriage so early on. And I would suggest for me, I mean, everybody's different, but for me, I would suggest first focusing on a solid friendship. Let's get to know each other on a solid friendship.
Right.
See the areas where you're gifted in. You see the areas where I'm gifted in, that we can work together doing this, or we can work together doing that. But as a friend, let's first be friends, because a lot of marriages and things fall. But when I'm looking at, even in the time of me ministering to different people, they never had a friendship.
Right.
They
exactly.
Can't,
well, you know what what's happening now?
It.
Yeah, they're doing date night, because sometimes that's skipped over, you know, before you get into a really relationship. So just sitting down, having dinner, laughing, talking, and sharing personal notes about yourself, family, getting together with family, you know, interacting with friends, and, you know, just being with each other. But, you know, of course, it's very few people today go on picnics. That's an awesome place to just have just relaxation. You don't have to just have any conversation. It's just getting to know a person.
Yes. Just, you know, out to dinner and just chatting as a friend. So, yeah, that's established there. I'm real big on establishing a friendship with someone first, because even if I have to exit, it is not so hard on me or hard on the other individual, because we are stepping out into this as friends. We're getting to know each other as a friend. And so I think that is very important. That's one key thing for me. Everybody might not look at it that way, but that's one key point for me. And then I always have the four rules for me. This is the four rules I usually use for me: to be wise, to be safe, be real, and be honest. I mean, with that, I think you can't go wrong. Because, okay, you want to do everything with wisdom. You want to build your friendship with this person with wisdom. On even if you do start dating, if you go out on a few dates, you still want to establish that we are now getting to know each other as a friend base. We're cultivating this as a friendship first before we take it any further.
Right.
And then say,
well,
you
know what the Bible says.
Always...
Right. And I think sometimes what we do, and because we bring not the spiritual side into it, and I know a lot of times, you know, men think that we're too holy, because when we come on, we quote in scriptures and everything like that, and we're, but that's a safeguard of us, you know, to come in on the grounds that we know to protect our heart. And so, but the Bible says, don't be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Because sometimes there are some couples that immediately when they see each other, they know, this is who I want to be with. And some that do not know that. So every situation is, a personal relationship is different when it comes to dating. Some have survived, some have not, because some of us has jumped into situations a little bit too early than we should have, and then it tears away the foundation of where you're trying to go with this person. You don't get to really know them because you have jumped into being intimate. And then if you're really listening to the Holy Spirit, he'll put some brakes on you. And he said, okay, hold up. You know, he said, oh, my God, I done got involved now. I got to, you know, stop. Yep, you sure do. You know. And so you have to learn how.
You know, and even when I think of the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You can meet somebody and not know a lot of the infield about them until you begin to build friendship with them. Because, see,
right,
that's what
exactly
happened with me marrying the bishop. Even though the marriage did happen very quickly, but I
mm-hmm.
still didn't have time with him as a thing that
okay.
I just
wow.
So
how long how long did you date before you got married?
We dated for maybe about a good 8 months,
okay.
9 months, and then we were already talking about marriage, and it was something that he really inspired onto me. I hadn't really got that concept in my heart yet, but
right,
I
okay.
had what you call a desire to do ministry in Africa, and I was excited about Africa, and everything was going well with ministry, doing it, meeting, and, you know, just doing the ministry. And I think that's where my side tracking began,
mm-hmm.
because
right.
it wasn't an attraction to him, per se, in that level, but it was an attraction to the ministry that he could provide
exactly.
for me to
and
do.
And that's important. You said something
so,
really that's key, because
yes.
a lot of us
yes.
that are in church, we're looking at that spiritual side of togetherness, but on the relationship side of, like you said, being friends and getting to know that person outside of the ministry, what we have neglected to do.
Yes, and we really need to go back to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to get back into that place of understanding, because a lot of it now I'm looking at some of the believers is even stepping out like some of the people of the world. And the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we
mm-hmm.
have to renew our minds in this. We have to understand
right.
now we are men of God. We can't do the same dating as the world, because the world, they will move in together and live together for years.
Right, exactly.
And be sleeping together and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and they end up not even marrying at the end of the day. So we have
right.
to be careful. The book that Apostle DeMond Tolliver wrote is Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties. So once
mm-hmm.
this book is Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties. So we have to understand when we start allowing people into our personal space, we are already building in us a soul tie with that person. So
right,
that's why getting to know, becoming friends first, before you allow that nugget to get dropped into your spirit where you start feeling some kind of way and, over exalting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it goes wrong, now you have this soul tie that you are fighting with to dismantle it, to disalter it. And that's why I suggest getting to know each other as a friend or having a solid friendship first
mm-hmm.
before you decide that you want to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to
set boundaries. Coming in, most of the time when you come into a relationship initially, for yourself, you've already said what things you want to do and don't do. And you have to really hold tight to a lot of things that you know that will compromise your standard of living. And when you start compromising something that you know that you should keep to stabilize your own self, because you can't do anything with nobody else. It's you. And so it's very unfortunate. You really can't blame somebody else. You have to look at yourself. Because when you come into any relationship with anything, you have to say, okay, what is the what I will do or what I won't do? What do I need
exactly.
to do or what I should do? You know? And
yeah,
even
yeah.
that, and just like with some guys or some women, they have an aggressive relationship. Aggressive doesn't always mean that you aggressive bedroom, but aggressive with taking a person's time.
Yeah,
consuming
absolutely.
Somebody too much time of somebody, before you know it, you have entered another phase of that relationship that you didn't want to go into. You needed to just take it at a slower pace. But the aggressiveness of somebody that, and it could be a spirit of manipulating.
And you
you
need
know,
to know that. And sometimes you can't see that right at the beginning until you really spend some time with someone as a friend. And you're like, that was a little strange. Okay, well, I'm going to check this out a little bit longer. Let me see what that, you know, if this happens again, then I'm going to look at it a little different. So it has, you have to. And like I said, the four things that I always go into any friendship that I have is be wise, be safe, be real, and be honest. Because these are the things that help you understand, like, okay, I have my list right here in front of me. Okay, first I'm going to be wise. I'm going to use this whole friendship as with wisdom. I'm going to be safe. I'm going to let people know if I go out somewhere, somebody close to my family where I'm going and who I'm with.
Right.
So,
right.
And be real about what I have experienced and what I think I should, you know, should and should not do in a relationship and put it on the table. Just, I'm going to be real about it. And honest, if they ask me a question concerning certain things, I'm going to be honest. No, I couldn't do that way because I really trust me being a woman of God. I don't know how many women you have been, you know, with or intimate with any. But I know that I am a real woman of God, and I won't cross those barriers. So sometimes you even have to tell so-called men of God that that approach you in certain ways that is not godly. And that's always eyebrow raiser. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, some people can say some flirting things, but when you literally say things that are just not ungodly, that's a whole nother way to look at it.
Right.
So now this is, you cross the line on another, you know, and I think about, when I think about that, the scripture that is coming to me concerning that would be 1 Thessalonians 4:6. And it says, in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish man for all such sin, as we have already told you and warned you. So we shouldn't be taking advantage of our sisters and our brothers.
Why?
At the beginning, we are sisters and brothers still in Christ before we connect. You see what I mean? Because we know once, you know, you get married, which, and it says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honorable by all. The marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge adultery and all the sexual immoral. So we have to understand these things. These are scriptures. So I'm just not here to just say how I feel, but I'm here to put it in scripture as well, so that it doesn't.
Right, you have to.
My own notion,
but
from the notion of the Word of God. And this is he's saying that we should have wisdom about, we should be wise about, we should have understanding about. Because this is serious. There's a lot of marriages headed for divorce, are already, people are divorcing. And I've never heard, like I've heard within the last year, so many women of God being abused by so-called men of God. Like, that has been blowing my mind, literally. To know that someone could physically take their hand with the same hand hold the mic, preaching the Word of God. I'm just so outdone with that. I'm so outdone with that, because that's a scary place to be when you're thinking that God lives in this man.
Right,
it is. It's a scary place to be.
Well, listen, woman of God, let me take a break right here, because I want you to dwell on that a little bit longer. But I'm going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back, because I want you to talk about godly men and have an ungodly action. Okay? Hold on one second.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
This is a Queen Vander Power Nugget.
Did you know that it is by design that we aspire for greatness? Don't allow fear or insecurity to delay the inevitable. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, lets us know you, dear children, are and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world.
Thank you. You are listening to the Pastors for Punch TV Studios, hosted by Joy Brown. And we do have our guest on the line, Ms. Angela Robeson. And we were just talking about singles and living holy, and some of the things that we're finding out about when we are coming together in a relationship, whether you're dating a pastor, an apostle, or just someone. It doesn't have to be always the fivefold ministry, but just dating purity within the kingdom. And she was talking about a topic that we really need to adhere to, because sometimes things that are happening in the body of Christ with our men of God and what women are experiencing, and I want her to elaborate more on that.
Amen, amen. I want to even give my testimony. But what we need to understand, too, when we are in a rush, that's one thing I would like to bring in Scripture, is 2 Peter 3 and 8, and it says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be like a day. So we have to stop thinking that we have to rush so quickly into things. Like, oh, if he doesn't say this, if he doesn't say that, then that means he doesn't really, I don't know, I don't, you know. So we have people that do that because they don't understand that the mindset of a person can be that they want to be very cautious on the next decision that they make for the rest of their life. You don't know if they've been in prayer and they said, Lord, when I make this decision, it's going to be final. This is it. This is a woman I want to have, and I want you to put and steer in me the Holy Spirit to guide me to know she is the one. You don't know the process of that. So we tend to get into a place where we start judging because it's not happening soon enough for the outsiders looking in. So we have to be careful how we allow people to speak into a friendship that you're trying to develop as well. You know, you have to guard your gate when you are dating or when you have a friendship that you're trying to make a solid friendship on. Do you have encouragement or do you have discouragement? You want to decipher those two, because if God has showed you some particular things, then you know to stand on that. But I want to give a testimony on what happened with me and the bishop based on this supposed to be a godly man.
Okay.
And after we went through the channel and God began to reveal things to me, I'll take it to that next phase. But once that came about and I decided to exit the marriage, then from there, he began to curse me like nobody's business. I'm talking about that men would die at my feet. I mean, I would get sick. Oh, he said so many things. Now, you went from being a bishop to laying hands to healing people, who out of the same mouth cursing me, telling me how I was not going to live, or the men that try to come and befriend me was not going to live, but they're going to die. And that's where you have to be careful. That's why you need to know, even with dealing with leadership as your friend becoming your mate or becoming a person you're dating. That's why I think it's so crucial to spend time to get to know them, because if you really spend time to get to know them, those signs will be shown before you make that decision.
Right,
it will
be
shown. Because a lot of times you rush into it, there are signs that you would have not got to see because you moved so quickly. So now when it comes and you're already married, it's like, oh, if I would have known this, I would have never, you know, I would have never did this. And by that time, it's too late, because you've already rushed the decision or hastily not taken wisdom to really discern. You know, when you're dating, ask God to turn up the volume on your discernment, because you really want to discern the man or the woman that you are becoming friends with. Because we got some scary women, too, you know, that will do all kinds of things. So we have to understand that happens as women of God, supposedly.
Right. But Angela, I'm enjoying what you're saying, but I have a caller on the line, and it's Minister B.J. Fetcher, and he's a man. And I really want to see some comments that he has in reference, even in dating on the man's side, because the women know.
Okay.
But I want to hear him say something about how and going into a relationship, or some of the guy friends that he knows. He's a minister also. So I'm going to bring him on the line with this, okay?
Yes. Perfect. Amen.
You're welcome. Minister BJ, how are you today?
I am excellent. How are you all?
Just fine. You. God wonderful. Bless you. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you,
now,
too.
Let's hear from the viewpoint of the male perspective, because I have male friends and I talk about relationships, and, you know, I'm talking about singles and being holy, but when it comes to dating, I want to hear from a man viewpoint, because I'm quite sure you probably been into dating and probably didn't work out, or what is that a guy, when you start dating, how do you go into dating being holy?
Well, it's okay. I heard the pastor say some things, and I agree with almost all of what she's saying. But I think that the first thing we all need to do in dating is, first, we must agree. If what is holy, what's not holy, we got to have that agreement. In order for two to walk together, you got to agree. I think that's the most important thing. Then we need to also realize that we all are human. People have emotions. People get pulled out of character because of their emotions. And I think that's something that we all need to realize when we step into relationships, that this person may have a position, and a lot of times we get infatuated with that position, whether it be leadership or she plays the role of a virtuous woman or whatever it may be. You know, she might be that for real, but we got to realize that we all are humans and we all have emotions. So certain things, you got to know the person. You got to agree on certain things to see what pulls them out of character, because anybody can be pulled out of character if they're human. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing going into relationships, in anything, especially in holy relationships. And we got to understand what is the goal of this relationship. Are we together for this purpose, for that purpose? Are we just to enjoy one another? I think that's, if you set those boundaries and you can work on them as we go into a relationship, because I've had experiences when, you know, I've enjoyed somebody and enjoy their presence, but they may have a whole different agenda that I am not aware of until we get further down the road. And I'm thinking, you know, it is one thing, and they had a whole nother plan for my life.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
That is so true.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And I know we talk, you know, I know, you know, everybody, when they first come into a relationship, you're saying what you're looking for, what I desire, and it's almost sometimes like it goes out one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so when is it, and how do you zero in? When is that line of discernment supposed to sharpen and pop in, and you begin to see where God will show you something, and you know, okay, this is not going the direction where I wanted to go. So those red flags start coming up. What happens then?
Well, I think that, like I say, we don't have the spirit of fear. So that is in communication. I think a lot of people are afraid to express what's going on, where you see things going on and you really don't address it because, well, maybe that's me being crazy or I'm feeling this way and that ain't what it is. I think we need to address everything going on. If you're supposed to be a minister, we're supposed to be able to hold each other accountable. If you're going to hold a lay member accountable, you need to hold the people that you are in relationships accountable for certain things. This is just the agreement that we had in the beginning. Why are you feeling this way? And like people always say, communication rules the nation. And that goes for the nation of God.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. You must communicate, and a lot of people won't respond to some questions that you ask. It's just like, I'm waiting on the answer. I just asked you a question. And it's like, well, I don't really want to answer that question right now, maybe. So some of those things are something to really look at, like when people do that, like, okay, you know, that was not really a far-fetched question. Why didn't he answer that? Because there's something hidden. I would just say, to me, there's something hidden behind that. If you feel like
a certain question. My whole, like I said, my four steps is to be wise, be saved, be real, be honest. And so if I do these things, if I follow this chart, this pattern, then my communication is where I'm going to try to lay on the table is much as possible to have a good communication with you. And I think that's one of the main things that make us fall out is we are not able to. So that goes back to you saying we must agree. When two touch, you know, as agree as in touching, then a thing can be established. And if we're not agreeing, then nothing will be established amongst us. We won't be able to build anything together because we're already in disagreement.
I think you hit a nerve right there. I think that is exactly what it is, because a lot of times we are not agreeing on certain things. And like you say, people don't refuse to talk about certain issues, and they just sweep that under the rug and try to move forward when that issue is still unresolved. It'll come back up later on.
Yes, it will.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I was reading the headline, and it says, change for single America in the past decade. And it's showing that never before in the U.S. history have so many adults been unmarried. And there are now 109 million Americans 18 and older who are divorced, widowed, or have always been single. That's about 45% of adult population. That's high.
That's very
marriage
high.
Used
it's
to
almost
be,
half.
Like prior to, of course, when our parents were growing up, that was one of their dreams, you know, is to get married and have children. That has almost become antiquated, obsolete.
You know, it should be like,
you know,
little,
a woman
like,
would rather
know,
now,
on the prairie,
it's almost
you know,
not even in her goal plan. She might want a baby, but she's not planning on getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really, and I know it has to do with sin because you got TV that educates, you know, staying together before you get married, you know. You got the music that we promote. Of course, that's for the world. But like you were saying earlier, Prophetess, that the Bible says don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewal of my mind, because the kingdom of God rules and regulations are totally different than what you see. What his requirement, and of course we know that. Of course, he said if you can't, can't stay single because you're burning, then you get married. But to burn and still stay where you are, that's what he doesn't like, because he knows you're going to burn, because that's what he made man and woman for, to desire one another. But I'm talking about we're not even considering getting married. And that's not even only in the world, but we're looking, I'm talking about pastors, church,
that's it.
Our people. I'm talking about the church, and that's the symbol of the body of Christ. Marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like.
And of course, you know, you look at your church, if you even go take a count and divide the congregation, how many singles and how many married, you're going to see the predominant of your congregation is single. And
you're
it's
absolutely
not being
right.
Well, I have an opinion on that. It's not fact, but it's opinion from what I have observed. And the issue, I believe, with so many people being single and not married, not getting together, and not wanting to work together, because people really don't want to work together. We all have our own personal agendas. And we want to put our agenda first instead of being able to team up. I think the issue of teaming up is a thing, because personally, in the church is the example of this. Like, people going to church is individual. We got to think of the church as an institution. Now, I work with a lot of churches trying to get them together, because we know we're having a problem with membership in the church and church doing things in the community. But there's so many pastors out there. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, that have churches within a 5-2 mile radius that don't want to work together they act like they work together, be friendly face to face, but they all concerned about their own individual churches and their bills that they got to pay for that church instead of coming together. And I think that's the issue that I know that's the issue that we're having as individuals, why we don't want to have relationships. And we do have a few relationships, like a few churches come together, a few people are married, but the vast majority is people want to work on their own and do their own because they got their own dreams. So
yes.
I think that leads to the issue that we have going on with individuals. It starts with the church.
And just to collaborate on what you just said, which is very true, we have churches that are on the same block that hardly ever speak to one another, you know, and they see each other members coming in and out of church, and it's like, can we come together and pull this thing and make it bigger than what it is? And that's what and see me, I have the heart like a person that loves to help build and help people ministry just take off. Like I have a TV program platform, so I always like to touch the people that have really not been on TV yet, to give them that exposure. Maybe someone spoke in their life, you know, you're supposed to be on TV, I see, you know, and yet they haven't come to that full flesh yet because, or that full, should I say, that full roundedness to sit there, because sometimes people, they don't want to connect with you, they got their own thing, oh, no, I don't want to be, they don't know, they ain't got, you know, but you have to be spirit-led, and I'm seeing a lot of people are not being spirit-led anymore. They're doing things on their own agenda, as you spoke. It's all about them and how they get started. It's all about what they do. Here I am. I'm opening up a platform that I could just teach my whole myself off of it each Thursday. But yet and still, I feel the desire that for kingdom building in my heart that I help others get recognized. Their ministries known, people recognize who they are. Now, what you only had maybe 15 or 20 people seeing you now can go to a million man viewer that will send your ministry to a whole nother level. And then you're like, wow, you know, just that me going on there that one time, you know, I started, you know, people was reaching out to me. You see, so it's to me, I'm trying to still figure out where that turn went. That everyone began to work individually. We even know, like, Mubu the Days and
but
the Babylon,
you know,
they were building the tower,
uh-huh.
and they wasn't even saved. But yet and still, because they came on one accord, they
right.
got so far
okay.
up that even God
right.
like, wait a minute, I got to look at them. Well, now I got to change the way they speak to one another
right.
because I got to stop this.
Okay.
But we don't understand the principle, the spirit principle, that if we
okay.
come together, we can make just that much work for us in the kingdom to get people really saved and delivered for real.
So back to the topic, how to live single and holy, since we have single meaning alone. So now you need to bring and merge this singleness that we have, and how do you bring that into the body? That although you are a single and you're not in union with the relationship, but we're talking about the body of Christ. So how do you come in and you bring it? Because you got to come in with a solution today. And you're coming into the body of Christ and you're living holy. How do you make this work in the church? How do you make so many singles now, either they're divorced or they're widows or they're single by choice or waiting to be married. So how do we get our seniors to come in to build this finance, this holy temple that we have, and we all come together and network and still be single but a whole entity together? What is your suggestion? How do we bring our seniors together so they're not feeling like they're isolated doing their own thing? What are you saying we need to do?
And for me, I would say having workshops, meetings, like, you know how they have leadership meetings and they have all of these other types of conference, but no one's really saying let's have a conference on how to help people understand what it is to date, how to prepare yourself for marriage, and how to walk in a marriage and be fruitful in your marriage, because that still after you marry you still have to learn how to be, as I would say, as though when you first was trying to get to know this person. Because mm-hmm. I believe on every day of a course, there's some new ideals, there's some new thing that a person can transform mm-hmm. in their mind to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I got to be just that much cultivated with you to kind of discern you and walk
mm-hmm.
with you as the days,
mm-hmm.
the months, and the years go by.
Mm-hmm.
I know she don't like this because I dealt with you for some years about that. But now she just started liking this. So now how do I, you know I got to get this for now. You know, so those are
right.
some of the things, the principles to me that keeps the spice and the relationship going
mm-hmm.
even as a kingdom relationship. In ministry,
right.
My wife likes to fly maybe only 3 times a year with me on different events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how will I make her feel when I have to go on the 4th or the 5th conference
mm-hmm.
or the 5th revival? You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's,
now,
there's
do you
certain
know
things
that
you really have to adjust yourself to and be willing
mm-hmm.
to adjust to. So that's why being honest about what you like and how you like it and when you like it is it's an important piece in any relationship,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just for business. If you have a business partner, you know,
right.
I like it set up like this, you know, but because these become your intimate partners.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend time with these people. You're going to get to know these people on a whole nother level than
mm-hmm.
just seeing them and saying, hey, how you doing, girl? How's it going, Pastor? No, then it's a lot further than that. We're sitting at the conference table and we're discussing on kingdom matters. So
mm-hmm.
now I need to know you not just as sitting across the table, but I need to know you in a personal way as well because we're working together. So we need to
right,
know each
exactly.
other. And
but
that's
you know,
where I think a lot of it goes wrong.
Right. Minister PJ and Robinson, let me ask you one thing because I'm going to have to let Minister Robinson talk about Pastor Tolliver's meeting. But I find it out as being a single a woman and in ministry that it is such an awesome privilege to be single because it gives you an opportunity to go out and network. Do you know that single women and men have a light that shines that they can just intermingle with different people and bring it all together? They do more volunteer as a single person because you have that freedom. And that's why singleness should be taken very valuable while the time you have it, because we know that when you get married, you do have to really check with that partner of yours to make sure everything is cohesive to keep that partner happy. But when you're single, the freedom that
Absolutely.
You have to come in and leave church, come in and go again and mingle with people, that's joy. Yes, that really
yes,
is joy.
Yes.
So,
yes.
and just like
yes,
your business,
yes.
if you're striving to get your business up, you know, to do these things prior to really getting so totally hooked up in a marriage, because if you don't have that thing going, by the time you get in a marriage, that thing, you might shut the or she might shut that thing down, and that might be your heart. So you really need
okay.
to be understanding with someone when you come into a relationship, okay, this is what I like to do, this is what I'm doing, and I want you to help me to do it, you know. And then that makes the relationship grow because now you have a partner, someone that's going to help you cultivate. You're cultivating his business, and you're bringing and merging together, and then you have a sound foundation that you're coming in upon. And living holy is really awesome and great, but that's only if you find the happiness in Jesus that he's using you in such a dynamic way that anybody would want you because you're single and happy.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I was going to say being single and staying holy is all about staying busy, and creating that cohesiveness with the mm-hmm. congregation of that, like that spirit. I have a background mm-hmm. with sports, and when you're on a sports team and everybody working together and you're doing something, it's a certain spirit that come on. You almost like move as one body, and that kind of
mm-hmm.
occupies your mind if you're set on a goal and you're moving with these people to do those things. And like you say, if you're already doing it while you're single and you already have this joy, when you bring somebody in and they're on the same page, that makes it even much better for that relationship to develop on a whole another level. But yeah, staying busy and creating the spiritual bonds with mm-hmm. the other people in your congregation or in your church or even throughout the nations, because mm-hmm. all churches come together. So that, I think that is very important for staying holy while you're single. You got to be busy. You can't just be laying around in the house.
No. But listen, Mr. BJ, you don't know, but he's my guest for tomorrow, so I'm not going to let him continue to talk. I just want him to come in and join in what we're doing, because he is a man of God. But I got to let you know, this man of God is going to be with us on tomorrow. But for the last 9 or 5 minutes, I do need to let Ms. Angela Robinson talk about Pastor Tolliver's meeting that he's going to have and the book that he has. But I admonish you that are listening to this broadcast, these radio stations, to be on tomorrow, because DJ is going to be with us. I know him and everybody else that he's introduced himself as Black Jesus. Remember this name, DJ. So, just hold on to a minute, and I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to allow her to just go ahead and close us out with the information that she's going to be introducing us to on for this young man that she is promoting. Okay, Ms. Robinson, it's your turn now.
Okay, and I just want to say thank you, BJ, for your wisdom and all of that. That was a blessing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I mean, you're absolutely welcome. So just about the meeting, we're going to be having a meeting February the 9th at the Carson Civic Center, which is 801 Carson Civic Center in the city of Carson. 90745 is the air code. It's going to be a bondage break and revival. And he also wrote the book on breaking ungodly soul ties. He's also a book author, and that is about getting yourself prepared for relationships, understanding when you have soul ties that will hinder you from entering into a new relationship. So that is one of the events that is coming up in the city of Carson, right here in Los Angeles, and I'm just excited about the fire that's going to be grown here. He's from Dallas, Texas, and I just know that God is going to be up to something really big on that night. And I'm just saying, invite your family, you know, your friends, your mother, your father, your cousins, everybody. Just bring them out for this event, and it will be at, again, the Carson Civic Center, 801 Carson Civic Center, and the zip code is 90745. I look forward to seeing you out there. I look forward for you coming out, and I know that you will be blessed by this man of God, and I know that he has a heart for God's people, and so that's what we want. We want people that have a heart for God's people. So I'm just looking forward to seeing everyone come out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to hear me talk about dating and with my thoughts.
That was fun, huh?
Yes.
I'm looking at Apostle Tolliver's book, Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties, Exposing the Enemy. You know, that book is for sale. And I don't know if you have all the information that people can buy this book before he comes into town. Now, this book here, I'm going to read something on the back. It says, what kind of relationship are you in? Is your relationship considered godly or ungodly based on biblical principles from the Word of God? And does a relationship seem to be more toxic in nature and is poisoning every aspect of your life? This is his book, Apostle
Tolliver. Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if you have any information or his website that I can put out.
I can definitely get the information to you.
Yeah.
But I know that it's in it's in all of the bookstores. It's on Amazon. It's on what's the name of the bookstore? I can't get it. I'm thinking of the name of. I can hear it, but I can't
Barnes
even say
and Noble?
It right. Yes,
Barnes and Noble.
Yes, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's that City of Refuge bookstore.
That's right.
It's at a few places. Yes. So, and also you can go to his Facebook page, which is Apostle Demond Tolliver. And you can also search it there and have information concerning this book on there. So there's definitely a lot of ways to get in contact. You can Google Apostle Demond Tolliver, and it will also show you the link on how to get his book, Breaking Bondage Ministry. I mean, Breaking Ungodly Soul Tie, Breaking Bondage Ministry. You'll be able to see. Yeah, so there's a lot of links to get his book.
And I'm assuming that's why the Lord had me to take this particular interview, this direction about living single and holy, because I knew you would be coming on and you would be talking about the meeting that he's going to have in February. Is that right?
February
the 9th. That's basically what this particular book is talking about. You know, like you said, it's breaking with enemies, the profound word of God that releases a prophetic impartation to stir the hearts of God. So if you're looking for someone that has the knowledge and the information, revelation of the relationship that you're in, then, of course, you're going to push that meeting that he's coming into town, and hopefully what you're doing, it will pack the house out. It will have, and before they come, they would have already been prepared, read his book. I'm reading, I got the book now open, and it says, Who Are Your Soul Ties? Chapter 4, The Enemy's Use of Ungodly Soul Ties. Chapter 6, Fasting and Prayer Breaks Ungodly Soul Ties. Chapter 8, Defending Future Ungodly Soul Ties. So he's on it.
He's even helped me with a lot of things, understand a lot of things, even from my testimony of some of the things I went through. And so, you know, he's powerful in that area because, you know, that's something that the Lord gave him. And so I bless God for him even, you know, being able to minister to me in certain areas concerning that, you know, understanding fully about ungodly soul ties and just soul ties that you don't even really recognize that you have, but just based on some of the behavior and some of the things that you're doing, you know, it speaks for itself. So, yes, that is one book. And also, if they come out to the revival on February the 9th, the book, it will be a table set up with the book available to buy there as well. And he will be signing the book.
Okay, well, good. Yeah, so then, and that means that they have the book already. All they need to do is get a signature on it. Matter of fact, when he came to City of Refuge and I purchased the books that I have, that's where he signed it for me. So I clearly understand, you know, what his ministry is all about, and he's coming from Dallas. Is that right?
Yes, Dallas, Texas.
Yes, coming from Dallas, Texas.
A revivalist with fire, And that's what we need. We need to learn how to just come together and work together in ministry. I think so much about that. I don't see why more of us don't do this. Like, this is easier would be for us to be successful in an event, you know, if we work together. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, listen, you know, you always have the last minute information coming to you here when your show is about to end. You know, the announcer come in and let you know how many seconds you got left. And I just got that warning, so I don't like to cut anybody off, but I wanted you to know that I thank you for coming again on the show, CEO Angela Robinson, and also pushing somebody else's ministry, which you're good at. But listen, we got only a few seconds, and I just want you to know this is the pastor for Punch TV Studio, your host Joy Brown, better known as Joy in the House, for behalf of our CEO, Joseph Collins. Punch TV Studio, we thank you for joining us, Minister BJ, and again, you be blessed, and he's coming on tomorrow, so I want you to tune in again for a great, phenomenal show, and I'll be talking to you. You can go on Facebook, click on, and you'll get to hear this full interview with this woman of God. It can come in and time enough and share with your friends. Until tomorrow, God be with you, we bless you, and may peace, love, and happiness follow you.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Have a good rest of the day. Bye.
Okay, you too.